Hi, guys. How are you doing? This is Mandy, and we are here with yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Weezy is still in Dallas getting her coins. You know, she got a new job, and I am just free from tax season. So I had some time, so I decided to get up with some good friends of mine to bring you this episode this week. And I guess we'll go ahead and introduce them now. We have, I'll start. You know what? We're going to start with the lady because that's how we do. So we have the lovely Chrissy Monroe. And do you want to tell them where they may know you from, a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, most people know me from VH1's Love and Hip Hop New York Season 5. And I'm also a writer for Hip Hop Weekly Magazine. I have a love advice column, Love Talk with Chrissy Monroe, and a few other things, but we'll get into that later.
Yes. And then I am also, I have the wonderful, I kind of want to roll out the red carpet. Y'all may know him from. No, but we, I'm not going to do that. We have the Deuce Palooza. Could I call you the hype man? I know you kind of don't like that. Look at his face.
Yo, I can't.
Not the hype man? What's your title with Deuce Palooza?
I think I'm the host.
Oh, the host. Okay, yeah. Host is better. Yeah.
You're like a host, right?
Yeah, don't do me. Don't do me.
Break it up. It's already. Catch me outside and won't Vicky. Put your bets up.
And then, well, I know that you are the host of the wonderful podcast, Trappin' Anonymous.
That's a fact.
And if you guys have not listened to it yet, if you guys are looking to subscribe to a new show, Trappin' Anonymous is hella dope. Do you want to let our listeners know a little bit what they might expect if they listen to your show?
I want to do my intro first.
Okay, do your intro, son.
Is the camera right there?
Oh, go ahead. In the camera.
You already know. Chris Stavs, Trappin' Anonymous, Deuce Palooza. I'm in the building, not here by mistake, here by design. Y'all know what it is when I'm in the building. Let's get it. Trappin' Anonymous, basically. Now I'm not gonna make the show about
Brooklyn
me,
niggas.
But you know, I interview, you know, scammers, drug dealers, pimps, hookers, all kinds of people. And we do it anonymously, and you know, we just get their story. You know, everybody has a story, and it's important that we get it out there because there's a lot of lessons that could be learned from everybody's story. So it doesn't always deter people away from the underworld. Sometimes it brings them in, but we want to, you know, give them some advice if they're gonna enter that world. And we've done positive things. We've done hedge funds. We've done black entrepreneurs. We've done people with HIV, all types of topics.
I love it.
So
yes.
If you're interested, you know, Trappin' Anonymous on SoundCloud, Chris Stavs on all platforms. And yeah, let's do it.
Damn, you could have gave the handle at the end of the show. You want them to see who you are now.
Right,
huh?
Up front.
Of
right
course.
Up front at
I
Chris Stavs. At Chris Stavs everywhere. Follow me now.
This shit is a job.
Excuse me.
This is a job.
So both of you guys are listeners to the show. We actually brought back a new segment that we stopped doing and we brought it back. So we're going to start off this show with some vanilla shit. What we do with vanilla shit is bring up a topic, something that is going on in society, and normally it has to do with sex. So, of course, I found a great topic, and I want you guys' kind of input on it. I don't know if you have read it, but the president of Uganda is trying to ban oral sex because he claims that the mouth is for eating. That is his reasoning. He says, well, actually, he blames outsiders for trying to convince Ugandans to perform oral sex on one another, saying that he's issuing this public warning to stop from it. And I was talking with my friends earlier, and I kind of want to know, what are y'all's thoughts on kind of the government trying to interfere with what we do with our bodies, like, and sexuality, and like what is going on?
How are they even going to know? Like
that's right? What I had a question about.
How, like, yeah, like, do you, if you get caught,
I
in
think
your
it's
home,
in the act, maybe.
So
like prostitution is not
people.
Well, prostitution is not legal everywhere, and I believe that even if you are a prostitute, you have to be caught in the act of prostitution to get arrested. Correct.
But let's think about it.
Yes.
Like, if I'm getting head, right?
If you're getting head.
I'm getting my dick sucked.
I'm imagining it right now.
Okay, good. it's probably just us in the room. Like, if it's you and I. It would just be you and I in the room.
Right.
How in the world?
That's what I'm saying. How the hell are they going to know?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a blackmail tactic.
So then, do you get... who has the do you get arrested for blackmail? Or do you get arrested for sucking dick?
I think both of y'all would get arrested because you're allowing it. But it's the stupidest shit I ever heard of. And what would be the punishment? They're going to fucking sew your mouth shut or some shit?
So it's funny because I ended up reading up on him and I want y'all to know.
What a fucking
loser. In 2014, this same president actually introduced a law saying that you couldn't have same-sex sex. And that if you were someone who was caught having regular sex with the same sex, that you were punishable by law for that.
You had all this time to find a topic for us to talk about.
What?
And you found something.
I thought that
isn't there bigger problems in Uganda? Like,
wait, I don't know. I thought that this people? Was a big deal because what if this is something that they bring over here where they start banning? Like,
okay, so the president is homophobic.
Come on.
He's homophobic.
He's
obviously, he ain't getting his dick sucked enough and he's
Who's
mad.
Who's paying prostitutes to have sex?
Oh, I'm talking about the president over here.
Oh, so that's what you wanted to talk about. Is our president paying to have his dick sucked?
I'm saying it's just like, it's so many other things that's going on.
This is something that was actually made into a topic that a lot of people were discussing. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think the president of Uganda should worry about other shit. I just think he's probably a hater because his wife probably ain't sucking his dick.
Oh, because
that's probably
okay.
What it is.
He's gotta actually he's,
now everybody gotta pay.
It's funny because
it's either she ain't sucking his dick or she giving bad head.
What's bad head?
You know, teeth. You know,
biting.
Mouth not wide enough.
Girls are still biting dick.
She ain't got the suction.
Yeah, she don't got the two-hand shit.
Like,
the
two-hand shit.
The two-hand shit is
okay. It's funny because
now you go to jail for that.
Yeah, he introduced it trying to say that oral sex actually causes worms. And I thought that was funny because my mom used to say that, well, like, why I shouldn't drink beer. She said, if you drink beer, there's worms at the bottom. Y'all's moms never told y'all that there was worms at the bottom,
I mean, some
bottom
places,
of beer?
You drink liquor, there are worms at the bottom, but it's like part
of
the culture.
Tequila, of course.
Yeah, tequila.
I used to be told if I ate a watermelon seed, a watermelon would grow on my belly. That's what I would be told.
Okay, now that's something I don't know about that.
That's that Baltimore shit.
I couldn't drink 25-cent juices. That was
why you couldn't drink 25 cent juices?
My mother said it was like poison or some shit like that.
I'm done.
And all
I'm
the
done.
Kids got
I'm
to
done.
Drink 25 fucking cent juices. I had to did. Wait till I was 18 to buy a Tropical Fantasy. And I'm like,
Tropical
man. And this shit is horrible.
Okay,
that.
Fine. Okay, I guess y'all were coming on to horrible decisions and thought we were going to talk about something a little bit more raunchy. So that's what we're going to do. The Kink of the Week was inspired by our beautiful guest. And so the Kink of the Week, and I would love your input as a hetero cis male on this. And any other men in the room that would like to chime in, I would like that too. So our kink of the week for this week is MMF threesome. MMF standing for male, male, female threesome. It is a threesome involving two men and one woman. There are several options for who actually has sex with whom. So the woman can be in the middle, one of the men can be in the middle, or everyone can have sex with each other. I wanted to bring this on because I heard the lovely Chrissy speak on this topic, and she openly admitted to enjoying MMF threesomes. So what is your take on it? And I also have home mail that I would like to read and ask you for some advice. But what is your take on it? And then we'll get to the men.
It's the best thing ever. I've done it several times. I even had two cousins before.
Wait. They were cousins.
They were cousins.
Okay.
They were totally cool. Of course, they don't get on the bed. They ain't with the gayness at all.
Okay.
They totally weren't touching each other. It wasn't no DP or none of that porno shit. But it's fun because when one is finished, the other one just keeps going. So it's like just continual fun.
And you know, like women, like y'all get more horny. You know what I'm saying? Like niggas, we nut and it's like, yo, I'm out. Women, y'all be like, Let's go again.
Did you feel like it was a lot of work for you? Because I'll admit, and I haven't admitted on the podcast, but I've done this as well before. Two men with me, and I enjoyed it.
But set it up though.
We talked about it previously, and it was something where I said I would engage in it because I trusted this man.
So he was like, "Y'all, me and my man wanna." Fuck
he me. Didn't say me and my man's wanna, but I like it was something that I think he kind of had a. Like fantasy of, And I was like, yo, I'm down with it. But it's also like to where he didn't last as long. So I think he just wanted to please me. And because he couldn't fully please me, it was something to wear.
Stop fucking these 55-year-old niggas. Like, that's the problem. That's the problem. You keep fucking these 55-year-old niggas for the bag. And don't
elderly
for the bag.
I'm fucking
this is what we doing. You actually really don't listen to the show because I actually like young niggas, but I say it's because of stamina. And something that I like that you went to, you said that it's kind of like being a queen for the day. Mm-hmm. So as a woman, how do you feel when you're engaging this? And have you asked a guy for it before and he was like, I would never, like, I can't believe that you do this.
I actually cut off, it was a twin, identical twin brothers. And I was fucking with one and I told him, we ain't having sex again. He was only 23. I said, we ain't having sex again until you and your brother both come over at the same time. And they would not do it. They kept trying to, they started fighting each other like, no, he ain't shit. You need to just fuck with me. You don't want to do that. But they wouldn't do it. I guess they were embarrassed of doing it in front of each other. I was like, both, you're both cut off. That's it. Just nada.
How long ago was this?
This was a few years ago. Maybe like 4 years ago.
And so is this something that you've introduced into the bedroom with a partner, or is this something that you do just with, you know, friends?
The first time I did it, I was in a relationship, and he would not fucking stop stressing me for a threesome. I said, okay, well, what's good for you is good for me, motherfucker. I said, so we're going to have a threesome. We're going to have my threesome first. I picked which one of his friends. I made him drive to Brooklyn, pick him up, and bring him to my house.
Hey,
and it was on and popping all motherfucking night till 6 a.m. Yes. Like, yes, yes, yes. So that was the first time.
What type of shit? What was he on though? Like, how was he feeling like, that you said, all right, I want that friend? Like, because niggas feel like you want that
and
friend.
And that friend still DMs me on Instagram.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's that bullshit.
Thirsty.
Of course he does.
Thirsty.
So you picked the friend.
I picked the friend.
And he was cool.
And he was so thugged out and just he was like a crack dealer from the hood that worked out.
No. So did you eventually switch off and give him his threesome with another woman?
Yeah, and it was so lame. He got mad too because he busted in 2 seconds. And the girl was more into me. So he went out and lay in the living room, had a fucking attitude. I said, it ain't my fucking fault. Like, fuck you. Well, you disappointed two motherfuckers tonight now. You should have just left it alone. You know what I'm saying?
I actually just made a post about this. All men were not granted the ability to engage in a threesome.
It's not like a porno.
It's not for everybody.
They think
if
it's
you don't,
be like a porno.
They do. And if you don't have the stamina, you don't have the girth, let's say you don't like eating pussy, if there's a lot of things that you don't like doing, entertaining two women, don't let both of us down, please. I have a whole mail about this that someone just wrote in, so I thought it was perfect. She said, I just want to start off by saying I love the podcast. I'm a young female interested in having a threesome with two males. This is my wildest fantasy in life, but I've never done anything like this and don't know where to begin. I don't want to do it with two guys that I know because I just want it to happen and never want to face the people involved again. Do you have any tips for me to make this happen? All suggestions are welcome. I really, really want to make this fantasy happen.
Go to the Dominican Republic. get you two Sankey Pankies and call it a night. Give me $20.
Wait, they doing threesomes for 20? The men are fucking for $20 too?
$20 US.
$20 US.
That's a lot of money over there.
Yeah, that's some shit.
Why do we always? So if Weezy was here, she would say pay for dick too, and I'm just like,
that way you ain't never gotta see him again. They don't speak in no English. You don't tell them your right
not
name.
Not speaking no English.
Hey,
you don't tell them your fucking name.
Paying for sex is underrated. It really is.
It's a convenience.
It really it's a service.
Something that I would say to do is if you are on a trip, maybe out of the country or in another city, you'd be surprised that if you come off like you want friends in a club or a bar, a lot of them will be
they're
ready to run that.
A cruise, please. I went on my first cruise last summer. I had every married motherfucker on my shit. After the kiddie daycare, look, they had the daycare on the boat till 11 o'clock. So then the wife had to go back to the room to be with the kid. Oh, they was in the club, unbuttoning the shirt,
shitting
out, acting single. I'd be like, wait a minute, I just saw you and your whole fucking family 4 hours ago at the dinner. What the fuck are you trying to do? Well, you know, I'm on vacation and my wife really don't mind. I was like, I'm going to ask her tomorrow when I see y'all at the buffet. Fuck out. Fuck out of here. Like, you know you lying.
So in terms of this, too, for our lady listeners listening who may want to engage in this, how do you bring it up to a guy? I just kind of said how I did. How is it that you brought it up to to any of these men? Like, listen, this is what I like, and is, you know, and
well,
have you ever
helps
been?
A lot. It's just usually a spontaneous thing.
Okay.
Like when I had the two cousins, I was fucking with the guy. He was at the Dominican. He was actually my barber at the time. And then we all went out drinking. We had another girl with us, but that bitch passed out on the couch. So me and him were in my room fucking, and his cousin, I left the door open on purpose. My bathroom was right by the door. So his cousin walked by and was standing there watching. I was like, I looked at my guy. I was like, is that all right? Like, he was like, okay. It just happened. It just happened.
Have you ever been
spontaneous?
Engaged in this, Chris?
How many times have you done this?
Quite a few.
A lot.
Quite a few. Yeah.
Have you ever been engaged in a male-male-female threesome? And is it something that you would do?
Damn. Yeah, you gotta suck my shit.
MMF.
MMF.
Like, to be real, like, so it's just so many different ways to tackle this question. Yeah, I have. But it was like, it's when you younger, it's
here
a train.
Here we go.
You know what
this.
I'm saying? Like, when you younger, it's a train. So, like, even now, it's a train. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, women... This is like their fantasy. In my mind, a lot of women. In my mind, this is like a woman's fantasy. You know what I'm saying? So, and women always get looked down upon for anything sexual, and you know that double standard is very alive and well.
Yes.
So yeah, we've had training, but you already know. Like, I'm not looking at him. He ain't looking at me. You know what I'm saying? We just doing us. You get the neck. Somebody hitting it from the back. You know.
So,
what I'm saying?
But so you ran a train, and that's one thing I don't like.
I don't
that
like
that makes
the
woman
either.
Sound like she's like a whore. But then if it's a train, bitch, I'm the conductor because I'm running shit.
All right. Yo,
yes!
However you want to look at it.
But I envisioned, first of all, a train, you can't have just two cabooses. I thought it was a little longer than that. So I thought a train was a little bit more than two men. And I also thought that a train was you one coming in, doing his thing, then leaving, and the next one coming and doing.
No, a train is if me and my man got you and we fucking you and you giving somebody else top. And we switching. That's a train. You just got a train ran on you.
So
that was, but that's a younger thing. That's how it's considered when you're younger. When you were an adult, mm-hmm. and this shit is so common, it's so regular. I've spoken to women, and she was like, "It was just two dudes I used to mess with." I just asked them.
It's so regular.
You know what I'm saying? But like, don't tell no guy that's trying to like wife you that shit, because no man is gonna really be on some like.
Somebody.
I was about to ask you.
No. I'm telling you, it's slim though.
Never know.
It's slim
because
though.
In the back of his mind, he gotta like be with you and shit, and be like, "Yo, it was two niggas just." Talking your shit.
Some men get turned on by that.
But that's what I'm saying. But
as
women,
fuck my wife agencies out here.
There are. I can't wait to find somebody to interview about that because that's gonna be.
But
crazy.
as women, we're supposed to be okay with you wanting a threesome and taking two pussies.
And jealousy is like a turn on too. You know
Some
what I mean?
Get, they get aroused by jealousy.
It's like, oh, you fucking slut.
It's that adrenaline.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck like, you better than him.
You want some this bullshit?
I'm really done.
It's definitely one of those
just double standards.
It's not something you just come out and you tweet about, like, you know what I'm saying? But you telling us you've had it done to you.
Yes. So now it's out in the open. So I can't really take that back, can I?
I mean, it's going to be in the back of his mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas was wilding on your shit.
And
that's how niggas think.
Some men, you got to have just open communication and really make sure you both
say it all the time.
Go with that. Because some men may take that as a pass to go cheat. Because they might start feeling a certain kind of way. So that's what you don't want to happen. And it just kills the relationship. This has to be something you both know you're into. If you both know you're into going to swingers clubs and shit, like, that's the same thing. That's established from the jump.
But you do that with your, you know what I'm saying?
You can't do it with your partner?
With your wife, it's like,
It's always the Madonna whore complex.
Hey,
always.
Hey, this is my wife. Like, you are my queen. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying.
The queen that I'm cheating on and doing all the filthy shit
with the
other bitch.
See, you got, don't let that throw you off.
No.
Don't let that throw you off. You my queen. You understand what
I'm
saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is my wife. You know what I'm saying?
So how is it that you look at a woman in this way and can still cheat on her and do what you do as a man?
Let me finish.
And we can't do shit together.
Just let me finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Chris.
And I got to watch another nigga fuck the shit out you. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Okay, so you're not into it. We've established that. It's not for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no.
It's not for everybody.
But I know men that it is.
But the majority is not into it.
No, you're right.
I meet all the men you meet because they seem to be very,
but I,
you know.
They ain't husband material. I'm not trying to husband them.
So you wouldn't. Wait.
That's very important.
You wouldn't cuff a guy who you wanted to have a threesome with?
I could. I would marry two guys if I could. I definitely would marry two men if they were down with it, but good luck finding that.
I like that energy.
Okay.
But I'm not good with a man fucking another bitch in front of me, though. I'm too jealous. So I have the double standard. Look at, I'll fuck a bitch up if I care about him. I mean, I've had threesomes like that before, but I didn't give a fuck about the dude.
It's crazy because we've talked about threesomes so much on this podcast, and to have sit here have two completely different points of views of it. But for you to sit here and say you love two men, but to sit here and say you couldn't have another woman,
it's
just no. That is crazy.
Be homicide in that motherfucking bedroom.
That is crazy, and this is why I say for a
if
lot
it's
of the,
somebody I care about.
A lot of the people listening, if you're looking for a threesome to either engage with for fun or in your relationship, it's a super huge importance to have communication.
And threesomes are so regular now.
They're
so regular.
I still think you just need to have that communication because knowing that you would be jealous, but then you would expect him not to
really
be jealous.
Yeah, it's just who I am, though, but I'm in tune with who I am, and I know that about myself. It took many years to figure that out.
I like that. Hey, guys. This episode of Horrible Decisions is brought to you by Rode Microphones, the official microphone of the Loudspeakers Network. That is right, y'all. If y'all ain't know, we assigned to the Loudspeaker Network. Since building our studio, we teamed up with Rode because we wanted the best in microphones, and Rode offers professional broadcast quality mics. We have been using the Rode Procaster now for a few months, and the audio quality is amazing. I know y'all talked about our audio being too low. Y'all couldn't hear it on the train for y'all that are in New York, and then y'all said y'all was having to turn our mics down while y'all was at work because we was too loud. But now we good. Y'all know it's because of Rode. To get more information on the Rode Procaster and Rode's other microphones, go to Rode.com. I'm going to spell that for y'all because some of y'all don't know how to spell. But that's R-O-D-E.com. Take your podcast to the next level with Rode, and now back to the show. I like that. So for this episode specifically, guys, we're going to take a turn. We kind of just was, you know, a little funny and kinky or whatnot, but I wanted to have these two specifically in here for me because I think Chris is a very sound voice and with probing into getting really good questions out. And Chrissy, do you want to share the other part of you that you didn't share in the beginning and what you do and why you were a voice of this? if you want to tell them about your organization.
The things that I'm doing now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of people don't realize when I left Love & Hip Hop, I got into another relationship and with a guy that was 13 years younger. He was fine as fuck, but he was a piece of shit.
Like they always.
Yes. And I almost ended up losing my life. This guy was a woman beater. I mean, I didn't know that when I met him. He didn't just walk up and say, hi, I beat women, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It was a gradual progression. So anyway, to make a long story short, this man almost beat me to death. I have permanent hearing damage in my left ear. He had punched a hole in my eardrum. My front right tooth is bonded where he cracked it in half from punching me in the mouth. He robbed me for over $10,000 worth of jewelry. The whole ordeal lasted about 10 months, but honestly, it felt more like 10 years. I got rid of him finally. You know, the whole story would take a long time.
Right.
And he's also already been back in prison for beating up two other women since me. So he's just a serial woman beater. But through that experience of almost dying from choosing the wrong motherfucker who was crazy, you know, I started a foundation, and it's called Survive to Thrive Global. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. I started it in 2016, and it's growing so fast that I'm amazed. Like, we're doing dental programs, credit repair programs. We just secured $150 million in funding for housing, housing program we're starting in Westchester. Mm-hmm. I have a very strong team on my board of directors, lawyers, doctors, political people. Just everybody brings something to the table, and it's all about helping. I say men and women, but I really focus more on women because I'm a woman who survived domestic violence.
Right.
And for me starting this, I didn't realize how ignorant the public is and victim blaming with a lot of the domestic violence of
and
girl.
I wanted to exactly. get in on that
so
for
sure.
So
there's a lot of that stuff. And my goal is to educate and to share my resources. I just spoke on a panel with Mayor Miles Baraka last month. He's the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. He lost his sister to domestic violence, and he has a center. It's rampant in Newark. It's everywhere.
And I know on this podcast we like to preach black love. We talk about a lot of things in the bedroom, communication. But relationships are hard.
Mm-hmm.
People are sometimes pieces of shit. And unfortunately, love can blind us in a lot of different ways. And so I wanted to talk about four things specifically regarding domestic violence. And the first one, I'm going to read the letter. And if you have any questions as well to add on to this for her, for me. This will be kind of like an open discussion, but I had a lot of people send in letters. Mm-hmm. This is one, and I want to talk about how you leave, when to leave. And she wrote in, she was like, I was in my first domestic violence issue ever and learned that you don't leave or fight back, because for me, I was confused. Here's the man saying he loves me, but yet I'm waking up from being unconscious. I just wanted him to protect me from him, and I went back because I just wanted it to be a bad dream. To me, domestic violence is deeper than putting hands, because like he told me, my outside wounds would heal, which was right, but now my heart and mental state was fucked up. And that took a lot longer to heal than this from happening at the beginning. And she's just pretty much saying that she's still trying to put herself back together from it. Mm-hmm. So in this case, she stayed, wanting the protection from him, thinking that it was love, thinking that she had nowhere else to go. And I just kind of want to ask you, why do women stay? And I want to ask this specifically because as a woman who has mm-hmm. not experienced domestic violence, I could be one of those that victim okay. blame sometimes well, or may not understand.
Down.
Yes.
I'm going to break it down. And that's always the number one question. From the outside looking in, it's like, why don't you just leave? I had my friend tell me, oh, what, do you like getting beat? It was disgusting.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't realize, a lot of times women have been with their abusers, say, since they've been 16, 17, since high school. They dropped out of high school, got pregnant. They got 3 or 4 kids now. Now they're 40 years old, no job skills, no job history, no money. All they know is this man. All they know is abuse. And they've stayed because he's been the sole provider for them and their family. Where do you just leave to? You've already been cut off and isolated from your family because they're tired of hearing about the shit. Yeah. He's already started shit with them, and they don't want to fuck with you because you're fucking with him, and don't talk to me while you're still dealing with him. Where are y'all going? Oh, the shelter? What shelter? Because most of the shelters are crowded, they're dirty, and that's if they have room, or they tell you you can only bring one of your kids, not all four. So where the fuck is, where are you going?
It's funny that you say that because mm-hmm. I spoke with my mom before getting here, and this is something that I haven't really shared on the podcast. And I talked with you about it, about sharing a little bit of my background. So before doing this episode, I talked to my mom because mm-hmm. my mom was beat on by my dad. I was much younger, and she stayed for a long time with him, and that's what she did to get out. She went to a shelter. Because mm-hmm. the waiting list for Section 8 was way too long. Mm-hmm. And at the time she could not afford mm-hmm. housing for me and my sister at the time. Mm-hmm. So she got up and left while he was at work, and she found a shelter. And going to the shelter, we lived there for, I'm not sure, maybe a couple months. Mm-hmm. And being in the shelter put us up on the list for Section 8, and mm-hmm. she was able to get a house with us.
So you're one of the lucky ones. Another reason why people don't leave. Do you see the one on the news when it's, oh, a man came, he killed his girlfriend, shot the 2 kids, killed his girlfriend, and killed himself?
Yeah.
90% of the time, those murders are when the woman has already left their offender. Because it was, I told you, bitch, I was going to kill you, ever motherfucking leave me. I found you. They normally go and find them, and there's going to be hell to pay. So it's really that fear. If you ever leave me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to kill the kids. It's a mind fuck.
My question to you, mm-hmm. when was the point where you were like, all right, I cannot continue to do this? Like, what was the last encounter that made you say?
Oh, it was the first encounter, but I couldn't get rid of this motherfucker. He was already paroled to my house. I knew he was a con. Uh-huh. He was the bad boy, but he had a gun charge and drugs. I didn't know he was a woman beater. I let him move his parole to my house. Mm. So then every time the first time he put his hands on me, I was like, you need to get the fuck out. I ain't with this shit. He gave me a fucking bloody nose that squirted onto the wall. I had never had a bloody nose in my life.
He was trying to leave since the first time.
He wouldn't leave. He was in my house. To get him the fuck out.
Since and now the first it's, time.
Bitch, you playing with my freedom. I ain't got nowhere to stay. You call my parole officer, I'm going to kill you, you fucking bitch. He would have calling me from Coney Island, telling me my home address and that they were going to come cut me in my face. It was just a fucking nightmare.
So how'd you get out?
He went and committed a crime and got fucked up because I used to pray to God, please let him get hit by a bus. Like, anything. Let something happen to the motherfucker. Because he was sleeping on my couch by this time. We were not speaking. I just wanted him to get the fuck out. Move your fucking parole, whatever, because like he was going to end up killing me.
Wow.
The worst beating I had is because I hid my car from him because I didn't want him to drive it.
Right.
He had a suspended. He was a loser. It's my fault. I picked him. I'm not going to, whatever. It's I was stigmatized in the beginning. No, it was my fault that I dealt with the motherfucker. Mm. I picked him. Mm. I'm not going to say, oh, I was such a victim, like he did this. Mm. No, I chose to let him move in my house. Mm-hmm. I chose to let him put his parole there.
Right.
But like I said, it didn't just happen in one fucking day. It was the mental abuse first, then it was the verbal, then it got physical. It was a gradual progression. It was the I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. I didn't mean it. I'll go to counseling. Fuck that. He didn't do none of that shit.
Right.
But he went and committed a crime, and he wanted to do a home invasion robbery. He thought the guy was in there alone. No, there was four other dudes in the basement, and they drug his ass outside and beat him with fucking bricks till he had staples in his head, knocked all his teeth out. They had to cut his clothes off, I heard. And then
this sounds like some movie shit.
Yeah, he was in the hospital, handcuffed to the bed with an officer. That was my time. I packed up hefty bags of all his shit. I took it to his cousin's house, changed my locks. He got out of jail because he was under custody.
Right.
You know, they let him out because he didn't tell them he was on parole. So he was at some chick's house in Brooklyn on that Tuesday telling me, come get me. I'm ready to come home. I said, motherfucker, this is not your home no more. You come near me, because I knew he was weak now. He had just gotten fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're going to get fucked up worse. Like, because I automatically regained my strength. Like,
so
I felt like God had worked a miracle.
And with what you do, you did say you cater to women. Mm-hmm. We have a man here, and I did want to bring up the topic. Because I'm gonna read this. I had a friend, I won't say her name, but she wrote me a story of hers, but this relates to her hitting the man first and her hitting him. So I kind of wanna have the discussion from a man's point of view and domestic violence from women putting their hands on men and maybe getting retaliation and then having to deal with that. So she said, my husband at the time was drunk and I was tipsy. We were driving back from the club. He was upset with me because of his insecurities and he was in my face while I was driving. So I mushed him. He then punched me dead in my mouth. I thought I was going to die in shock. And here I go messing up the goddamn thing. I thought I was going to die in shock. Like, did you really just punch me in my mouth? I was bleeding and I drove to my parents' house and called the cops. But since I put hands on him first, we both could have went to jail. So he checked himself into a mental institution, scared that he would get deported. He called and apologized. I did as well and we worked it out. But already being over it, sorry, I just got a call. Already with me being that he punched me. And then she went into conversations to say how she should feel being that she put her hands on him first. I wanted to ask you, in any of the relationships you've had with women, have any of them put their hands on
Dominican
you?
Dominican women.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They be it's abusive?
It's just the Dominican women.
Just Dominican women.
They always want to fight. No.
Passion. It's that passion.
Oh, here we go. Attaching violence to passion.
No, but
it's both extreme emotions, though.
Okay.
All seriousness, though, like, even when you're dealing with somebody like that, for one, the moment a woman lifts her hand to, like, come at a dude or hit a dude or whatever, she has to be prepared for whatever is about to happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I've seen women play around and hit a dude too hard or smack a dude in the face, you know what I'm saying, and on some joking shit, you know what I'm saying, and he fuck her up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The moment you do, like, that gesture, like, when you physically hit a dude, you have to be prepared because you do not know what kind of trigger that's going to set off on that dude. You don't know people. You know
what
I'm saying?
I'll,
and you don't
I'll
know people being in that situation. You don't know. And all the time we're trained, oh, yeah, guy never hit a woman.
Walk
and woman.
Away.
And yeah, that's the worst thing we could
you
teach.
You can't keep poking the bear, basically, so they say.
I agree.
That is the worst thing we could teach, because when these same people get into those situations, it's over.
And I have a friend who was dealing with a guy who was much bigger than her. Mm-hmm. So she told me she would beat his ass, not really beating his ass, but because he was so big, she felt like
these
can't hurt. These ain't hurting
and
him. What is it doing?
We teach women.
Mm-hmm. And then all it takes is one retaliation from him, and now he's locked up. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to bring this up just maybe to have a discussion, or even if you are one of our listeners and you're in a relationship with your man and you decide to put your hands on him.
It's wrong.
Here we are in a room with multiple people and everyone's kind of shaking their head like, the woman is in the wrong
Nobody
too.
Has a right to put their hands on anybody. Male, Next. Female, male, male,
Unless
female, female.
Unless you finger in my pussy, like, that's the only way
right?
I need
Hello.
Your hands around me.
But yeah, like, you know.
Slap my ass in the bedroom, but not in real life.
If it gets to that point where y'all fucking putting your hands on each other, it's time to break up. Like, really. Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree.
It's like, yo, it's bro, like, I'm out of here. Like,
it's getting to be too much. Like, yeah, I've been that person when I was younger. It? I pushed guys and all that when I was younger and shit. Stupid shit. And they pushed me and all that shit. Just dumb shit. But when it gets to that point, it's over.
So we talked about the point of...
That shit ain't passion.
Of leaving. No. I wanted to bring up... the situation. I won't bring up the current situation that's going on right now, but I'll mention Ray Rice's situation. If you guys are not familiar with the Ray Rice situation, you've been living under a rock. He was caught dragging his woman out of an elevator, and we all thought it was the worst thing ever. He lost his job, he lost endorsements, and she went back to him and ended up having a baby, and they're still together. What do you, right? Look, we got.
And I'm sure it's still going on, but.
Yeah. And so what do you say to those women who go back, and why do women go back?
I'm going to tell you why. Because it's not always all bad. Listen, you could be with somebody for 5 years and it's perfect until he starts putting his hands on you. You want to always think that they're going to go back to revert back to that person. You don't want to go back out and be single. You're used to him. It's the familiar. You always going to hope and have that one little ounce of hope that he's going to get help and change. And he's not going to do it again.
And not even because...
And you love them.
This is an extreme comparison. So in no way am I downplaying domestic violence. But like, why do people take people back that cheap? Why do people say...
That's abuse too.
That is. And it is.
And I think that that's funny because that's a conversation that I definitely wanted to have with a couple, and I'm hoping to get one for the live show. But that there are different forms of domestic violence. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean you had a bloody lip or a black eye. It could be emotional.
Financial.
It
emotional
could be financial.
Oh, financial.
Explain that. Do you...
I seen a meme. It had a girl busting out crying and washing the dishes, and it said, after you find out he cheating, but you can't say nothing because you're living off of him. So now you can't even leave. You got to deal with it because he done set everything up around you. You ain't really working like that. He got the money. He got the bag. He taking care of you. And this nigga fucking bitches. And you can't even get upset. You got to be like.
What do you think Floyd Mayweather bitch is going to say?
Oh, for sure.
Not a goddamn thing. He done took half of them out the fucking trailer park. Where you think they going? Not a motherfucking place.
That's a strategy.
I was about to say.
You're not taking no strong woman.
But he keeps taking all that shit back and selling it to certain women with certain levels
of insecurity. Vulnerable ones.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Vulnerable.
And so
it's like they have a radar for them type of chicks, though.
And so you go back.
But you know what is crazy, though?
What?
Those type of women flock to those kind of guys. Of course. So it don't even have to be so much a guy pursuing them.
It's mutual.
That type of woman pursues that type of guy.
It's mutual.
And so there's a level of things that you accept.
And I go after guys
with
money.
I was about to say, nigga. I'm an independent woman.
Let me be Floyd.
I'm going after my nigga with money.
I'm a single.
But that's like saying...
I'll be part of the entourage. I need a white Phantom with CM on the headrest.
You can beat my ass for that. No,
ain't no, none of that. We ain't doing that. No, that's not what
I'm doing.
No, that's not
me. Dead ass serious.
But that's why. That's why Miss Jackson left him.
You can beat my ass for the Rolls Royce.
Right, Miss Jackson left.
He was
Miss Jackson left him for that.
For Nelly.
But like you just said, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. Those women are taking that emotional abuse. They're accepting the abuse because of him being wealthy, him being powerful. And so as a woman, even if you're saying, I would never take a man who would cheat on me, I'll never accept this from a man.
Never say never.
When you get in that situation, right? Because, I mean, I'm saying that I would never
say. That level of money, that shit's hard to turn down.
It's different, especially if you're used to a certain type of lifestyle. And you just be in a 5-star hotel, you'd be like,
yeah, you just came from the motel.
Like people be living, you be like, people be living like this and shit. Like
you got some exotic food you never tasted. Yeah, some diamonds in your ear. Yes, you had fucking QVC your whole life. Fuck out of here.
When I was doing one of my episodes and shit like that, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Just regular shit.
Right.
We eating 5-star restaurants. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like. Nigga, I just wanted a snack. You know what I'm saying? We got salmon and shit. You know what I'm saying? Your stomach not hurting after meals. You ain't got to use the bathroom. Like, the food digesting right in the right places and shit like that. So, you're not used to that lifestyle. You'll deal with anything.
You'll put up with certain
and
things.
And I see how women just go after that bag. But at the same time, the value for men is his pockets. The value for women is her looks. So it'll always
everything
be.
Has like its price. And my mother told me that as well. Everything has its price.
Everything. And if you know you ain't found that, the bag just wasn't big enough yet.
That's why I've been out here getting my own bag, because I refuse to be dealing with none of that shit, man.
You gotta really be at the mercy of somebody else.
I can't.
I agree. So I wanted to bring this up. This actually just happened and was released in the news today, and it's going to lead to kind of why women don't speak out. I wanted to bring up the Khalees clip. Mm-hmm. So if you guys can listen to the Khalees clip, this is what she had to say.
It happened with her and Chris Brown, and the only way I can describe it was like double dutch. Like, I felt like, do I jump in? Like, do I say it? Because I had bruises all over my body at that time. Like, that day, I remember being in Atlanta, sitting in the kitchen, and like, and I was like, do it. And I was, and I wasn't ready to walk. I just wasn't. And so I didn't say it. And honestly, because I'm not weak and I'm not like, I'm really private. I don't like people in my business. I felt like, this is my partner. I chose this. We're going to do this. We're going to make it work. I stayed for years after that. And just, you keep it moving. You know, and like I said, I'm not frail. I'm not scared. I'm not weak.
That part right there.
What about it?
It sounded like she was still hurting. I'm sorry. The emphasis on I'm strong.
Because it's embarrassing.
I was embarrassed.
I was embarrassed.
And so did you tell your friend? So I brought this clip up to talk about how people could be going through this, but they're not telling their family members, their friends. They're not telling people. Now, whether this happened or not, of course, Khalees coming 10 years later and saying this happened, I don't want to bash Nas or, you know, put those allegations onto him.
Who's to say she didn't hit him first?
Right. Who's to say that it's her side? Of course. There's exactly. Always three sides. There's his side, her side, and the truth. And so why might women just not even tell, aside from embarrassment?
Hey.
Protecting him, number one, loving him. And then Nas is a powerful person in the industry that she's in. He could have her completely blacklisted, just like Johnny Depp, when his ex-girlfriend came out, they fucking nailed her to the cross, mm-hmm. taking up for Johnny Depp, calling her whore, sending her people on social media. She had to shut down her social media, I think, sending her death threats because she spoke up against Johnny Depp, Hollywood's golden boy.
At the end of the day, I see it like Emily being fabulous was just seen in Coachella.
Right.
What happened with that?
And we don't even...
You saw the video.
Well,
him
I saw him arguing with the father, but I didn't see nobody put hands on nobody.
Well, he kind of like flinched at her, was like, yo, and then she was like kind of like running away, and they said he knocked her two front teeth out.
Which we don't know, because she was in Coachella a whole week, 2 weeks later.
Did she have her teeth?
Was she out
I'm
with
sure
teeth?
She did.
I'm sure she had teeth. But even that, and that's and me and Chrissy have had that conversation too, knowing that we don't have that video footage just yet. And we don't know who leaked the story as far as what has been happening behind closed doors.
It could be a bitch he was fucking.
It could be a lot of things. But not only that, if she's abusive on her end, and maybe that's why she chose to stay, or even staying, and maybe a lot of people know Fabulous, and a lot of people have come out and said, I've never seen this from him. I've never heard that he's done this before. So it's like,
honestly,
is it happening?
Honestly,
if no one
I
is
feel like, and it's crazy because it's just such like a trigger for people. But honestly, at the end of the day, every situation is different.
It's different, yep.
You can't base what happened with your situation to be with why you should have left because you have same thing happened to you.
Can't.
We don't know the dynamic of your situation.
Right.
Everything is different.
Everybody's situation is completely different. There's so many different nuances to every single part of what they're going through that we can't just sit here and say, should leave.
Right.
They're not with you 24/7. They don't know your inner workings, what's going on in your mind. They don't know the good parts, the bad parts, the indifference.
Exactly.
Like, they don't know.
And bottom line, nobody's going to leave until they're really ready to leave. If they're able to leave. If they're ready and willing and able and they have somewhere to go, they're not going to leave until they are ready. Because I have women write me every day and they're torn and this and that. I'm like, hit me when you're out. Because I'm not doing the back and forth shit.
Right, yeah. And that's what happens a lot of times. I had a friend who was getting...
My resources are reserved for people that are serious.
That are done. And I had a friend who was getting beat by her man. And so she would call me and confide, and I'd tell her, that's not who you need. You deserve better. I did all of that. Mm-hmm. And then who she was with the next week.
It starts sounding like a
same nigga. And it's just and now she has three kids by him.
But you can't be disappointed by that. And my thing is also, when I give people advice, the first thing I expect them to do is not listen. Because I'm not going to set myself up for the disappointment.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
You can't.
I let it be known and I leave it alone. That's it. I'm here if you need me, but when you're serious about getting help, let me know. That's it.
And so as a friend, if both of you had really close friends that were experiencing either putting their hands on the woman or being the woman receiving, you know, this is now going back to physical abuse. Do you intervene? Do you talk to them?
I done cut niggas off.
So as a man, and I wanted to talk about this because I've seen a lot of men ignore their friend beating on a girl, acting like it's not their business. They don't. They can't see what their friend is doing. So you've cut your friends off.
Yeah, that's whack.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's not something that I could stomach. And if I'm not doing nothing about it, and if I'm still being around, I'm condoning it, and I don't want to feel involved in that situation.
Same here. I've seen guys like do it to women, and I cut them off. But I've also let women stay in my couch, and you know they came to my house and stayed away and never went back. So you know, there's. You know, and then I've had friends that, like I said, flip-flop. Bitch, don't call me because I'm tired of hearing it. You sound like a fucking broken record.
I agree.
Until you're really fucking done, don't call me because I'm busy. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like I said, my resources are reserved for people that are serious.
Yeah. As a friend, if anything were
but
to
I
happen,
love him,
do
shit.
Would you feel responsible in
no.
any way?
No.
And the
because,
same for
like
you?
I said.
What?
Like
if something happened to them,
if something happened,
you can't go and pull them out of their house and come on.
You're right.
You cannot.
You can't. It's like a drug addict. When they're ready to stop using drugs, they'll still stop. You can't force nobody to leave somebody alone until they're fucking ready. That's it.
I done looked at my own pops. You understand what I'm saying? And watch him pick up a cigarette after getting liver transplant, kidney transplant, this, down the third. And I'm just like, yo, pass me a cigarette. I'm like, this.
Yeah. Because they're going to do what they want to do.
Piece, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to understand, you got to leave people in their own shit.
Right.
Because now I'm dragged in that shit. Now I'm losing my mind.
Right.
And you don't give a fuck about my well-being because you don't give a fuck about yours.
Right.
They're going to sneak and do it behind your back anyway. You can't force nobody to do nothing until they're ready.
Now the Hennessy come at the end. Y'all, they came into the studio. I want y'all to know we started a little late tonight. And both of them came and was like, where's the drinks, though? Like, what we doing? Why is there no drinks? As y'all know, me and Weezy don't be drinking.
Oh, that's Hennessy.
Weezy does other things. And I just don't be wanting to drink because I feel like this is work and my nails is not letting me open this. But if you could open that, we got cups, we got liquor, we got drinks.
I can't even publicly touch that.
Oh, you can't publicly touch it. Okay. Oh, I forgot, y'all. Duce Palooza.
Yeah, just pass me the Duce.
I'm going to drink that. Duce Palooza. If you guys have not attended yet, we're going to go ahead and close out. But can you let our listeners know what they can expect from Duce Palooza? I have been. I was going from the very beginning. I absolutely love it. It's a lot of fun. You guys just did Atlanta.
Yes.
Where is the next?
May 19th, Hammerstein Ballroom. We're going to do Duce Palooza Open Bar Duce for as long as supplies last. It's just a good time, you know.
It really is.
It's black people, it's brown people, it's people of color. It's just all kinds of people. We just in there just partying old school. You ain't got to dress up. You ain't got to wear no heels. You ain't got
to
be
Don't
fancy.
Wear heels, ladies.
You know
if
what
you
I'm saying?
If you ever go to fucking Duce Palooza, do not wear heels.
You will be
completely upset with yourself. The men there don't care if you have heels on, flip-flops on, sneakers on. Just go for a good time. I've had a great time there, and I'm mad that I can't make this one in New York City.
Oh, where you gonna be at? Dubai?
Don't do me. You see how my friends do me? No, I will not be in Dubai. I will actually be in Atlanta, Georgia for our live show, May 19th.
Yo, you clap it up for that. Yeah, shout out to y'all.
Thank you.
Doing that live show,
so
man.
If you guys are in Atlanta or anywhere in the South, come fuck with us or fly in. But if you're in New York City because you can't make the Atlanta live show, make sure you check out. Don't do that. Make sure you check out Duce Palooza at the Hammerstein Ballroom May 19th. And do you have anything coming up for our listeners to look out for you at?
Yeah, well, I would like everybody to check out my nonprofit Domestic Violence Foundation, Survive to Thrive Global, at www.survivetothriveglobal.org. We're on Instagram at Survive to Thrive Global. Same thing on Facebook and Twitter at STT_Global. Also, I'm involved with Celebrity Catwalk. We're a major pet charity here in New York. We pull pets from kill shelters. We get them fostered and adopted. We do a lot of good events. We have something coming up next month. And I'm also working for a double board certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Aiden. We have two offices. One is in Paramus, New Jersey. One is in White Plains, New York. Come for a free consultation. I'll get that waist snatched, that body right, baby. And we have a full med spa. I'm a patient coordinator. I'll get you looking right, baby.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. And check out my column we're revamping, Love Talk with Chrissy Monroe in Hip Hop Weekly magazine. And
two other surprises. One is going to be on CBS soon. Major daytime talk show, but I can't say yet.
Nice.
I like that.
And you already know what it is.
Yeah, no, because you lit. She lit as that fuck. And I'm not going to say the name, but
I'm
it's
out
lit.
Every day. I'm hustling.
Should have played that record.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on. I'm going to have you back so we can talk some real dirty, nasty shit. Because you just ain't shit. He's just ain't shit in real life. No, not do. We're not doing anything, Chris. We are friends.
No, I'm joking.
And totally friends. So totally friends.
Friends
but
zone.
And after this Henny, it might change. Hey! Get up
and
chill out.
Brown juice. I still be on my good shit when I'm on the
y'all
when
might
I'm on
make
the
a
brown.
Baby tonight.
Hey, chill out. Y'all stay trying to offer up my pussy. Anyways, my friends. Rory was trying to do that shit in L.A. All-Star Weekend.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, all right.
If Bill Gates was sitting here, you'd be right on it. Oh, you'd be like, offer my pussy. Sacrifice my pussy. Sacrifice me at the altar,
I'm
Bill.
Not listening to y'all.
Can we go to Dubai?
Anyways, guys, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. I hope you enjoyed. Bye.
Bye.